Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you so much, Marlon, and thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate all the hard work you all put in, how busy you must be to join these calls. So thank you for encouraging us, and we're going to keep doing this. We've got some great guests lined up for you, and we're going to continue to do it. We've got a very special guest today, but let me open with a word of prayer, as always. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us in this great nation. We don't believe that America is a successful nation in human history because we have been the smartest people, the most, or that we are somehow genetically superior. We believe that we have been the most successful nation because we rooted and grounded and founded this nation on a fundamental principle that rights and liberty come from God. They are inherent in us and who we are as human beings, and they are your grant, not the grant of government, not the grant of majority, but the grant of Almighty God. And that sense of liberty is what's allowed America, only 4.25% of the total world population, to produce more, invent more, innovate more, create more, feed more, clothe more, house more, raise the standard of living higher than any other nation's ever experienced. And Lord God, we know it's so wonderful, and we're so grateful for it. But it is under severe attack. It is under severe attack. This Colin Kaepernick, who everybody was so glad to follow, to kneel for the flag, has now come out and said he's working with Marxists because capitalism clearly can't liberate black people. Well, I knew the man was a Marxist and knew he was a radical, and people were justifying it based on police brutality, but I knew it was really hatred of our country and our way of life, and now he's proving it. Yet this country, this way of life, made him wealthy and famous. But he's too stupid to realize that he's cursing the very thing that blessed him, which is our country. And, Lord, so many across the land are doing the same thing. They're rebelling on every level. Everything, Lord, you are for, they are against. Everything you are against, they are for. And they want to sexualize our children. They want to abort our babies. They want government to control our lives. They want us to depend upon some shot pushed by Fauci and the pharmaceutical industry rather than depending upon our own natural immunity and common sense. So, Lord, we're in a crisis right now. We are really in the middle of a cultural revolution, and we're asking you to lead and guide us out of this and to the other side, to be an even more stable, strong Judeo-Christian nation. And, Lord, we thank you so much for these leaders on the call. We thank you for Bob Knight, who is about to speak to us. Because they're on the front lines of these issues. They are not afraid to speak up. They are not afraid to take a stand. And, Lord, we need more like them. And we pray that you will help us to save this great country so that we're not cast on the dung heap of history as a once great nation, but rather we continue to shine as a city on a hill that the whole world looks to. And we thank you and we praise you for a bright future for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren until Jesus comes. By grace, by faith, we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen, everybody. Well, listen, our guest is no stranger to you all. Bob Knight is one of the premier journalists in our country, and just been on the front lines of the issues that confront us. He's a senior fellow for STAND as well, on the front lines of the issues that confront us for a long, long time, worked with a number of organizations, and we're just glad to have him on with us. He's been busy with other things, but glad to have him back with us as our guest speaker today. So, Bob, welcome back, and glad to have you, and the floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you so much, Bishop. It's an honor to be on the call. And you asked me to talk about the column I wrote a couple weeks ago, LGBTQ's False Religion Paints in Rainbow Colors. And I want to start by asking people to view this issue differently from other issues. This is not just a difference of opinion. This whole LGBTQ tide that has swept over the country is really a false religion. It's a whole different set of values. It confronts Christianity by refuting its central premise. You know, the Bible teaches everybody is a sinner, all of us, no exceptions. Salvation comes through conviction of sin and then repentance and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The most common symbol of Christianity is the cross. It's the reminder of the greatest act of selfless love in history. And by contrast, the rainbow flag is about self. It's about self-expression, the self making up values as we go along. It's a warmed-over form of atheism and Marxism. A friend of mine mentioned this morning, he said, you know, the rainbow flag is really, I view it as the hammer and sickle in drag. Because it's the way Marxists are bringing America down. This is the spear point of the Cultural Revolution that's transforming American values. That religion says that either God doesn't exist, or if he does, sexual sin is meaningless to him. In fact, he lauds it and applauds it. And, of course, this is a lie from the pit of hell. So the other day that they had a pride mass at the Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Georgetown, and that's where Joe Biden goes to church. And this is a finger in the eye of God, at the very least, to celebrate pride. A colleague of ours, Everett Piper, who has been on this call, did a wonderful column in the Washington Times just yesterday listing all the ways God describes the word pride throughout the Old and New Testaments. And in every case, God hates pride. And Everett finishes the column with a quote from C.S. Lewis about how pride is the original sin, and from it, all other sins emanate. You begin with pride, and then you think you're too smart for God, so you can do anything you want. That's why this must be understood as a new religion. It's a challenge to Christianity. Whenever I see a rainbow flag draped over a cross in the courtyard of a Methodist church in particular, I've seen a bunch of them, that is a symbol of conquered ground. It's very similar to Muslims building mosques on the grounds of destroyed churches after they conquer. It says, this is conquered ground. You cannot have your values anymore. We're taking over. That's how I look at that flag draped over the cross of Christ. And I think that's how Christians ought to look at it too. We don't have enough time in this call, and I do want to make sure we get some callers to go into the whole history of where this got going. But it was really at the turn of the 20th century especially in Germany, these intellectuals began questioning the Bible's veracity with the high critical theory, and they formulated a new sexual theories that the whole biblical notion of sex grounded only in marriage was outmoded and repressive, and we had to do more. And that led up to Alfred Kinsey's studies in the 1940s. He founded the Sex Institute at Indiana University, which is still there. And he formulated these studies in these thick books with hundreds of footnotes, and they became the scientific foundation for the sexual revolution. And the media bought into them without even looking at them. They didn't even notice or look toward the charts about child sexuality, which are shocking, and I won't even go into them on the call, but Judith Riesman uncovered all this in Kinsey, Sex and Fraud. But this led to the validation and normalization of every form of sex under the sun. It certainly led to the promotion of pornography. Hugh Hefner cited Kinsey in his Playboy Philosophy essays, and by the way, those essays were designed to get around the censors who said that your skin magazine is pornography unless it has artistic merit or literary or scientific value. So he included these essays to say, see, it has intellectual and scientific value. And people bought into that. But, you know, people didn't buy it for his essays. They bought it for the pictures. But Playboy played a big role in the sexual revolution. Hugh Hefner helped fund the court case Roe v. Wade. I mean, abortion is in the best interests of males who don't want to be fathers. They don't want to be responsible for their sexuality. This is why abortion, homosexuality, and pornography are what I call the Iron Triangle. They all support each other's causes because they all militate against God's plan for human sexuality, which is marriage between a man and a woman, sex within marriage. That's what they're fighting, and that's what they're trying to destroy. I'm going to read quickly from Michelangelo Signorelli, who was a gay activist way back, and in the 1990s, he wrote, "A middle ground might be to fight for same-sex marriage and its benefits, and then once granted, redefine the institution of marriage completely, to demand the right to marry not as a way of adhering to society's moral codes, but rather to debunk a myth and radically alter an archaic institution. It's also a chance to wholly transform the definition of family in American culture. It's the final tool with which to dismantle all sodomy statutes, get education about homosexuality and AIDS into public schools, and in short, usher in a sea change in how society views and treats us." That was back in the 90s. And he saw what was coming. He said, if you can get a hold of marriage and redefine it, then all hell will break loose in a very literal way. Now, the good news is we've seen a huge backlash in recent weeks because Pride Month has become so oppressive that people who aren't attuned to this stuff and don't even go to church are fed up with it. It began in mid-May. And we've seen the outpouring against Bud Light and Target and the L.A. Dodgers for hosting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. But also we've seen parents react against schools that are trying to sexualize their children and push them into transgenderism. So that's all to the good. Half of the states now have laws that protect minors from gender identity meddling, such as drugs, hormones, and worst of all, surgery, that's really irreversible. But I think for Christians, we need to approach this with truth in love. That's the only way to do it, because God does love everyone. It's a lie that we're all children of God. We hear that particularly from people who push homosexuality and transgenderism. In John the Apostle talks about that we have the right to become children of God. That is, if we bend our will to that of Jesus. Until then, he says we're children of the devil. We're going our own way. And, of course, that's what's implied by the rainbow flag. It's a seizure of God's promise never to flood the earth, and it's a false religion because it poses a completely different set of values. Now, you know, if there's just a few people doing this, maybe think of it as harmless, but once it becomes government's job to force this religion on everybody, we're all in jeopardy, because what it does fundamentally is to transform biblical morality into a form of bigotry actionable under the law, and then bring the full force of civil rights laws to bear, enforced by the federal government, state governments, and, of course, corporations and universities that have full-fledged diversity programs that force this new religion on everyone. The final target is the church, and our friend Trevor Loudon has made a video called Enemies Within the Church, which is very perceptive, and you can see the fight going on in all the denominations. The good news is the churches that are resisting and are biblical in nature are growing. Non-denominational, Southern Baptists, others who are resisting this new religion are actually bringing in people that left the mainline Presbyterian churches and Catholic churches that really are not giving people what they want to know, which is the truth of God as taught in the Bible. Look, I could go on much longer, but I imagine we have callers who want to ask questions. And so I'm going to end here and just encourage people to support Stand and other organizations that are strong against this. PFOX, that's Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays, I'm on the board. That's a parents group that says don't burn your bridge to your loved one, but don't give in to the LGBTQ religion either. Speak the truth in love. So, Bishop, I think I'll end it right there and open it up to calls.
Hey, man, well, you've given us a lot to think about, Bob. So everybody press star 6 to get in queue to ask your questions. So let me start off with this question, Bob. If this is, in fact, really what it boils down to, a religion, and therefore it has cult-like qualities, because in religion, basically people are told to believe things on faith, and you don't need to reason through it. You don't need to be able to prove it in any tangible way. Just believe it. And they're asking the whole society to buy into this everywhere now, in professional sports and obviously in entertainment. That's been going on for a long time. But everywhere you look, the supermarkets, the corporations, everybody's buying into this kind of religion. How do you fight a religion?
Well, the truth and love. The real thing will triumph, as you know, Bishop, over the false thing, but it has to be said with confidence. It has to be preached. It has to be, and it has to be, it doesn't hurt to align it with science, because all truth is God's truth. So for too long, we've kind of skipped science and let the LGBTQ religion give a false version of science. You know, I know in the 1980s in particular, they came out with all these studies saying that people were born gay, and there's genetic studies, and they studied brain lobes and ear lobes and length of fingers and all kinds of things, and they're all bogus. They were all done by gay researchers. And I'm using the term gay as shorthand, okay? It's just shorter than I don't buy into the misuse of that term. But what they did was they convinced the media that, oh my gosh, science has proved you. It's just like skin color. It's just like ethnicity. And of course, it's not at all, because it has a moral component. It's about behavior. That was the smartest thing they ever did, was come up with the term sexual orientation, because it transformed behaviors into personalities, into identities. And then you could shove the whole civil rights apparatus into it and therefore use the power of government to enforce this new religion.
And those of us who were fought that from the beginning, saying sexual orientation is a slippery slope, what does that really mean? What will it come to mean? We were all told, oh, no, there's no slippery slope, there's no problem, it only means this. And now we're seeing there's no telling what it's liable to mean.
Yeah, they're talking about, now that they've gotten their way with marriage, they're talking about polyamory and trying to legalize multiple partner marriages. And, of course, they're aiming at the children with such force that I think it shocked many people who weren't even believers how they're going after kids in elementary school, and that's happening all over the country. That's also promoting a parents' revolt. And that's the good news. There is a revolt going on, and that had seismic consequences in the state of Virginia, as you know, Bishop, with Glenn Youngkin becoming governor and Jason Myers attorney general and Winsome Sears a lieutenant governor and the House flipping. That should happen all over the country. And if the Republicans, and let me be political for a minute, if the Republicans understand the power of this issue, they won't shrink from it anymore. They'll say, look, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, we're looking at a contest between normal and crazy. When you make that clear, people understand the difference between the parties.
And by the way, let me just make clear, I think your analysis is spot on. I think you're entirely right. This has become a religion. It is something that must now be taken on faith. If you are a member of the cult, you do not question anything they want to do. Okay, we got a couple questions. Let's take the first one. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Knight, I really appreciate your work. I've followed you for years. Thank you very much for your service. 2 points. Number one, the flag is something we really need to take a look at, because when they put that flag up, it is planting that flag and it is claiming that territory. Number two, I think this is more about destroying the family than it is about destroying the church. Because if the family goes, there's no foundation to build a church or anything else on it. Just my personal thoughts. Mm-hmm. But thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Bob. You want to respond to that?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't disagree. If you destroy the family, then the church foundation disappears because families are the heart of the church. So this is why they commandeered marriage. They knew that they could weaken it further. It was already weakened by no-fault divorce and the whole pornographic culture we have. But they came in almost after marriage had been carpet-bombed. They came in to sweep away the pieces and then establish their own moral standard, which is the standard of immorality. They know that church cannot be strong without strong marriages, families, children brought up in the church, learning the faith. Bishop, we had the author of The Devil and Karl Marx on this call, mm-hmm. Paul Kangor, mm-hmm. and he told us shocking things about Marx's dabbling in the occult and how his hatred for God was so profound, hatred for Christianity, and his embrace of the devil. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you look at all these attacks, you realize where they're all coming from. The whole notion of pride. And, you know, here's another thing about that Pride Month. You know, they don't just get one month. They also get October. They pronounced it Gay History Month. And they pronounced other days in the year special days, like the Day of Silence in April in schools. And, you know, I don't know of any other force in culture that has commandeered so many things to its youth in a religious fashion. You know, we have Christmas in December and we have Easter in April or March, but they're commandeering entire months and forcing people to, in effect, kneel down to their gods of Baal or else.
Well, let me remind everybody that STAND has declared September Celebrate American History Month, so that we come together around our common history and the nobility of our country. And we've also declared from May, now to the end of June, to be Celebrate Traditional Marriage and Family Month. And we're hoping to spread that and develop some curriculum around that, Bob, and spread that to churches around the country. Because, again, not just cursing the darkness, but turning on the light. Because you're right, I think this is fundamentally an attack on family. But by the way, and we got some more callers, but by the way, I just want to underscore, because I think it is an absolutely brilliant point when you brought up, when they plant that flag, they're claiming that territory. That's why they want the flag flying over the White House, flying over the Capitol, flying over the state houses, flying over our embassies. They are saying, we are taking over. Man, and I think that's exactly what they have in mind.
No, it's that serious. And to see it at the White House, Bishop, in a more prominent position than the American flag was really shocking. And that's when Biden had the Pride celebration with like 1,500 people out there, including topless exhibitioners.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just disgusting. It's as if Sodom moved right into the White House grounds. How many ordinary Americans know about this, and how many will put up with it maybe at the next election?
Well, the mainstream media has always sanitized these events because they don't want the American people to know how filthy these folks are and the things that they do and the things that they want to normalize are. They don't want people to see that. So it's rather diabolical. Okay, let's take the next question.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Jose calling from California again.
Okay, Jose.
So I've got a couple comments. Big, huge topic, very packed. First of all, the Chosen app, TV series about Jesus, right? There was an issue about them flying the gay flag on their set. And again, they said 50% of the people there were okay with it. But again, it's a sign of conquering. Would like your thoughts on that. Is there still valuable content in the show, or are you compromising yourself? Second thing, government hospitals here in California. When government takes over a Catholic or religious hospital, which founded our Christian nation was founded on education and hospitals. As you know, 99% or 92%
yep.
of were founded by that, and so now they're taking over. And they're flying the pedophile flag with the triangle. I believe that's the pedophile. They've got so many different colors flags, and part of that is they're forcing us to learn all their deviancy and weirdness, right, because all these different colors stand for different perversions and whatnot. So they're forcing us.
Yeah.
Why can't we turn that? I want to fly flags of the Bible. You guys have to learn what our, you know, symbol of flags are for the Bible. So you have to go and look in the Bible and learn it. June really is Life Month because that is June 24th, the anniversary of Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health. So there's a pro-life thing there. And what about separation of church and state, the government funding it with our tax dollars? You know, they always scream, no church and state.
All right, Jose. We got it, Jose. We're running short on time. Thank you so much, Jose. He said a lot there. Go ahead. we got another caller, but go ahead and comment on that, Bob.
Yeah, as far as The Chosen, I wouldn't throw The Chosen out because of that incident. It was a little, 4x4, 5-inch flag. One of the employees on the set had tent was the worker was working in. I happen to think Dallas Jenkins and the crew should have had it removed. He came on in a very pained explanation saying, well, you know, we have people who are pros from every walk of life, and this in no way affects the content of the show, and we try to let people express themselves as they want. I'm thinking, yeah, up to a point. I would have taken the flag, that little flag down, saying, look, this is in direct conflict with our Lord Jesus Christ, who we're honoring here. Why have it? You know, but I think it's because they don't properly see it as the symbol of a conquering religion. I think if Dallas Jenkins saw it the way we see it, he would have had it taken away. All that said, The Chosen is remarkable. The quality, it seems true to Scripture. It's a remarkable accomplishment, and I don't think we should let this ruin it.
No, I agree, but I agree with
you.
I agree with you that if the content is good and strong, then we should go ahead and be edified by that. However, I do have a problem with somebody who can't say to another person, yes, you have a First Amendment right to express yourself, but not here, not on my time, not on my set, not when you're working for me. When you do that on your own time, and I support your right to do so. But this set represents my values and my company and what we represent. That's a big problem I have with pro football and basketball, allowing all this crazy stuff to go on. Well, but they have a right to express themselves. Yeah, but that's not what they're there for.
Yeah.
So
they're using.
So that's Christians have got to see because they don't mind. What do you think would happen in most circumstances if somebody put up a Christian flag? Oh my goodness. All hell would break loose. That's offensive. You can't do that. Not everybody agrees with that. So, that's a little bit of an issue that he doesn't have the courage to just stand against it. But see, Hollywood is so rife with this stuff that, you know, you make an issue and you better be prepared to fight. Okay, we got one more question. Let's take that one. Go right ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask if you see some of the separations within parts of the Christian churches as healthy separations, not divisive, but a separation like separating two guys who are about to have a fight. And if you see that as something good, would you think that there could be a similar separation among the states within the United States, that we can use this to draw a line and make it clear that you can't be for the children and be for the LGBT. You must choose. Would you think that could be a healthy separation of the states, could be a way to preserve the union?
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, that's an interesting composition there. I don't see any secession from the Union, but I don't think you were advocating that. But, you know, de facto, informally, it's already happening. People are leaving California, they're leaving Illinois, they're leaving blue states, so-called, and going to conservative states like Texas and Florida. So it's already happening. People vote with their feet. But as far as the churches, I think this is healthy. When you see people who revere the Bible and want their church to reflect biblical values and really honor Jesus, who, after all, is the author of those biblical values, and separate themselves from those who are trying to distort it and use it for their own purposes, I think that's a very healthy development.
And, you know, yeah, I hear what he's saying. I would never advocate a divided nation. I want us to come together around the values that made this nation great, which means we're going to have to defeat those ideas that are bad. And that's a tall order. There's no question about that. And what you've been saying to us, Bob, helps us understand what we're dealing with, because it really is a spiritual battle. It's not at root. It's not a political battle at root. I think we have to fight it in the realm of politics, but at root, it really is spiritual. It's people who are coming to the table with rejection of God, rejection of Jesus, rejection of the Bible, rejection of the church, and they have their own ideas, and God's not included, and his morality is not included. And for those of us who stand on that, they see us as the enemy. I would make one other point, Bob, and then just tell people how they can, you know, keep up with you, read your stuff and so forth, and that is this. Please, never, ever, ever buy into the paradigm. Well, you got the far left and you got the far right, and you know, we need people to come together in the middle. Don't buy into that paradigm, because, look, we do not represent the quote-unquote far right. You think about where we stand on the issues 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's just mainstream. But what's happened is we've been redefined as extremists, because the left has become so extreme that they've got to reorient everybody's thinking and convince everybody that if you don't go along with them, you are the extremists. They're the extremists. We're really mainstream. It's just that they've changed the goalposts. So I don't buy into that stuff at all. You know, we're so divided. I'm not divided. They've created a major cultural assault on the values of the country. And anybody who doesn't go along is accused of bigotry, hatred, division, this, that, and the other. It's a false narrative that they've created, and the mainstream media is happy to amplify it. And, of course, most of the institutions of our culture, it seems these days, are happy to go along with it. But we are standing against it. We are just normal mainstream people, not right-wing, far-right, this, that, or the other. So I just wanted to get that out there. So whatever division there is, we're not causing it.
No, I concur completely, Bishop. They're always blaming us for the culture war. They love that term, culture war. But they're the ones who are the aggressors. They're the ones who redefine marriage, who said, we want your children, we're going to teach them completely different values, et cetera, et cetera. You know, can I just share one quick anecdote?
Go right ahead.
To encourage people, because years ago I debated Barney Frank on CNN, and the issue was marriage. And just before we went on, the guy said, okay, gentlemen, you got a minute to go. And I was sitting elbow to elbow with him. And Barney Frank was the homosexual congressman from Massachusetts, very smart, funny at times. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't want to debate him. He's one of the best. And just for a second, I thought, well, what am I going to do? And then it dawned on me, I can call on the creator of the universe for imaginative arguing. I can ask Jesus Christ himself to help me. And what is Barney Frank going to do? I looked at him and I felt sorry for him. I thought, you know, I don't have anything to fear from him.
No.
And I said, Lord, if please give Barney the faith you've given me, break through his resistance and please save his soul. And if not, mess him up a little, will you? I need the help. And sure enough, when we got on, he started making mistakes. He stuttered. He had all kinds of trouble. And I thought, okay, Lord, you got me through this. And I would recommend that to anybody standing up in a school board meeting or confronting school officials or wherever you are. First pray, ask the Lord for help, and then go forward.
Amen. Amen. So, Bob, if people want to read what you're writing, how do they do that?
Yeah, the easiest way is go to my website, roberthknight.com, H for Harrison, roberthknight.com. You know, they could also send me an email directly. I don't mind, at robertknight4, that's numeral 4, at gmail.com. And I would add them to my email list. I send my Washington Times column out every Monday morning to a list of people. It's free.
Okay.
I don't spam people. So that's robertknight4@gmail.com or roberthknight.com for the website.
All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much. Your voice continues to be important, has been for a long time. And that last anecdote you shared is a reminder to us that if we will simply stand up for the Lord, he will fight the battle for us. So God bless you, Bob. Keep up
yep.
the good work.
Thank
Keep
you.
Up the
you
good
too,
work.
Bishop.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Well, folks, a couple of things before we go. One is I want to invite all of you to our 2 Chronicles 7:14 patriotic rally to secure America's future. That's going to be on July the 14th. That's 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You get the connection there. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And we're going to rally patriots from all over the country at the downtown Richmond Marriott at 500 East Broad on that Friday night, 6 o'clock for the reception, 7 o'clock for the rally. And we're inviting everybody to come. We've got to save this country, folks. And as Bob just pointed out, it's going to take God to help us to do this. We can't do this on our own. They've gone too far. They've got too much power, too much influence that we are going to somehow match them. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And by the power of God, we can do what they cannot do. So I would just encourage you to come and be a part of that. If you want to RSVP, which we'd appreciate, RSVP at ewjackson@ewjackson.com. The second thing I want to mention to you is that my book is still available. It's doing very well. I want to thank you all for that. If you haven't gotten a copy, you can get a copy through our publisher, faithfultext.com, faithfultext.com, or you can get it wherever books are sold. If you want to become a Patriot Partner for STAN, Staying True to America's National Destiny, standamerica.us is the website to go to. If you commit to $25 a month or more as a Patriot Partner, I will send you a signed and numbered copy of the book. We've sent out about 80 so far, and I'm happy to send one to you. Just go online, sign up, and we will get a book out to you. Folks, we're going to save this nation, okay? We're going to get it done. And I don't say that because it just sounds good. It's rhetorical. I mean it. It's going to happen. I may not know exactly how, and I may not know exactly when we're going to see the manifestation of it, but it's going to happen. Bob alluded to it. We've seen parents arising all over the country. The polls are showing that Americans are rejecting all of this gender confusion nonsense. That people are incensed that others think that they know what's best for their children and they want to inject them with hormones and operate on them. We're seeing people realizing that we got a two-tiered system of justice in this country, that the left has completely corrupted it because they don't believe in God and therefore they don't believe that there are any standards to which we must all answer. And so they believe instead by any means necessary or the ends justify the means. And they'll do anything. They'll cheat on an election. They'll cheat in a trial. They'll lie. They'll obfuscate. They'll manipulate. They'll indoctrinate. They'll demagogue. I mean, they'll just basically do anything they think they need to do in order to get and keep power. It's a sad commentary, but it's true. And, of course, we shouldn't be surprised because we're just talking about Karl Marx. Marxism didn't grow. Karl Marx's atheism didn't grow out of his ideology. His ideology grew out of his atheism. because Karl Marx is a God-hater, was a God-hater, was an atheist, was a person who rejected God, rejected faith in Jesus Christ, he came up with this ideology where he thought he as a human being could create the kingdom of God without God. And, of course, we know what it's produced. 100 million people murdered around the world in the name of the utopia that Karl Marx claimed he was going to create. Because there's no limit to the depth of depravity to which people will sink when they reject God. I mean, Bob alluded to this, all this linguistic gyrations, all these linguistic gyrations these leftists are going through. What about this one? MAPS, minor attracted persons. We don't call them pedophiles, they said, because that's stigmatizing. So we're going to call them MAPS. Because that has a positive sound to it. You know, a map is how you get from one place to another. I mean, this stuff is sick. It's filthy. It's degenerate. It's depraved. And the only way we're going to save this country is the two things, we've discussed them both in this call. We got to come back to God. We got to call this nation back to God. And that's what the rally is all about. Invite your friends. Invite your family. Tell them to come. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to believe God to move in it. We got to come back to God, and we got to rebuild the family. And the family as God intended it. Man and woman, husband, wife, and children, raising their children up to be honorable and decent rather than these sad semblances of families, these single-parent families that are springing up in every culture, particularly acute in the black community, but happening everywhere with increasing numbers, where you end up with kids trying to raise themselves with the streets or the gangs or the street life raising them. And what do they become? They just become a petri dish for raising up violent criminals. And they're plaguing the streets of our cities all over this country. And we've got 345 murdered children in America since 2020. 345. These are innocent children who were doing nothing to anybody, not involved in any gang, not involved in any wrongdoing, not running the streets, just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And sometimes the wrong place at the wrong time is in their beds, sleeping in their beds, when some thugs decide they're going to have a shootout outside their house and the bullet ends up killing a child. 345 of them. Not to mention if things go this way this year, the way they went in 2020, in 2021, 10,000 people murdered in the inner cities of our country. I'm talking about black folks, and mainly men, murdered by other black men. And all we hear is race, race, race. It's race. Yeah. And race has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that these families are broken down, these guys have no male guidance, and they end up defining manhood as killing people, harming people, hurting people without remorse. That's manhood for them. So, everybody, be hopeful, because we're going to win this thing. We have to. We have to. I mean, we're going to either win it or lose our country, and losing our country is not an option. So God bless each and every one of you. I'll be on the air at 1 p.m. on American Family Radio. You can join me there if you want to listen to the issues we'll be discussing today. But in the meantime, you stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.